If you want to hear where did you get that this holiday season, Uncommon Goods is your secret weapon. Uncommon Goods is here to make your holiday shopping stress-free by scouring the globe for the most remarkable and truly unique gifts for everyone on your list. Whether you're shopping for your secret Santa or for your entire family, Uncommon Goods knows exactly what they want. Honestly, I've used Uncommon Goods. We did a Ballers Murder Mystery game party that we got from there. It was a really unique, cool game experience that we found on Uncommon Goods. And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. These fine products are often made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. They have the most meaningful out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere, from art to jewelry, kitchen, home, and bar. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, not some lackluster gift you could just find anywhere. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/ballers. That's uncommongoods.com/ballers for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
I like this.
Okay. All right. I'll take it.
Oh, man. Look, in the pantheon of options, that one's... I'll take it.
Usually, the end is just so hard to land. And yep. I felt like you went strong.
It felt like a bit of a punch.
Yeah.
In the face.
You didn't hide. You didn't shy away.
Well, thank you.
Didn't lose any volume. Didn't lose any gusto.
I knew.
Maybe too much gusto, even.
I knew I would roll the R, and then it was just.
What happens?
Please make a sound. Just do something.
Make a sound. This is the 263rd time that we've been called buffoons in that intro.
For real?
And it's really starting to make an impact.
We've done that many shows.
That's how many shows we've done, yeah.
And we are hard workers. That's so insulting.
That's what people say when they listen to this podcast.
Like, I just wonder.
Those guys work.
They work hard.
So hard. Did you hear that episode, how hard they worked?
I just wondered if it was starting to make an impact on your self-esteem.
Getting called a buffoon?
263 different times.
I've heard it zero times.
I'd say I hear it sometimes, but on the day that you have the scat, I don't hear any of that.
You just hear the voice in your head going,
Don't mess up, don't mess up, don't mess up.
Make a sound, make a sound. Al Borland is here.
Hey. What's up, Spitwads?
Woo! Hey. Yay!
Speaking of hard workers.
Yeah. Yeah, he does more, way more work than we do on this show.
Yeah,
it's not the same quality of work that we do.
He's still,
but he does more quantity wise. Yeah, he's quantity
lazy.
Over quality.
Yeah, he is. He's a real quantifier.
Yeah. Welcome in. Well, would you rather life advice? Ooh, it's been a while since we dished out so much wisdom for folks.
And we're really going to help people,
as always. And then we are doing another battle royale. We are strolling through a garden center of a store.
You know what I didn't realize until preparing for this draft was that a garden center is where you want to go if you're looking for items for a battle royale.
There are a lot, yes.
Yeah.
And this is the first time I've got a little strategy going on with knowing that I'm the back-to-back pick situation in this draft. Now, you guys could undermine it, but when we get there...
You got some combos you're trying to put together.
Yeah, you know, sometimes there's those video games where, like, you know, two things work together to be more powerful, and I shouldn't have said any of that. That was a mistake.
Forge your weapons. I don't know what you're trying to do.
Okay, good. Well, let's start here.
Would you rather?
DK from Patreon says, would you rather have a bit part in 5 movies per year or play the lead in 1 blockbuster hit that is loved by all, but never be able to act again?
Oh, man. That's
a great question.
That is a very good
question. I need a clarifier.
Okay.
What? How do you define bit part? Am I
a bit part's like a?
Do I have lines?
Yeah.
So am I like the some movie, and then they come into the hospital. I'm the doctor that just says a few things, and then I walk out.
You've got a scene or two,
but that's like a cameo. To me, a bit part is
five lines.
Is like. Okay, let me ask. Jason, you're familiar with Mr. Deeds, the Adam Sandler movie?
I am not.
Wah, wah, wah.
Any other questions?
Okay, well, just like Adam Sandler movies frequently have a bit part where...
Which one are you trying to talk about from that movie?
The Butler.
Okay, yes, I know that movie. Yeah.
John Turturro, I think.
Yeah, that's a bit part, I want five of those a year.
Because his whole thing is it's the same joke. Basically over and over, but it kills. It's a really funny joke for the movie, but he's kind of sprinkled throughout. So I didn't know if that was too
John
much.
John Turturro.
Yeah, I don't know if it's too much that he'd be called a supporting character as opposed to
I think that might be too much.
That's too much?
Yeah, I'll say it's too much.
Okay, what about in...
Because when you look at the cast, he's listed basically third.
Okay, so then let's go Waterboy.
Okay, I've seen that one.
The Rob Schneider, you can do it.
That's a bit part.
Now, is that a bit part? Or is that just a cameo?
That's a bit part. He
that's
just
a
says
bit part.
Okay. No more than about five lines of dialogue.
Yeah, this says a bit part is a role in which the principal actor has no more than five lines of dialogue.
There you go.
Wow.
So I guess
all
five.
Right.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Okay, so basically, you get 25 lines a year because you get five bit parts.
You don't know. I'm doing that one. You don't know why? I'm at five red carpets a year. I'm in five credits a year. Uh-huh. I'm living the life of an actor with very little responsibility.
Little money.
It's got to be like one day of shooting.
Is it very little money?
Yeah.
Five lines in five movies? I'm making enough money.
I don't know if you're making
enough. It's not your full-time job.
Yes, it is.
Nuh-uh.
Five bit parts?
Nope.
Oh, I'm a famous bit part actor.
Okay, so you're just saying your rate for bit parts is high.
You're telling me, who's the guy from Waterboy?
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider. You're telling me that...
He's a famous celebrity.
But in this...
But as a famous celebrity, you get a bit part. You get paid way more, right?
Absolutely. Well, you're just saying you're going to be a famous... Because
it's part cameo then.
Yes,
it is part cameo.
Yes.
So what are you getting? Like $10,000?
I'm pulling home a few hundred G's.
A few hundred per part?
Not per part, for the five.
All right.
In totality, I think I'm pulling home probably $300,000 to $500,000 a year.
I think if you have five lines...
Because I'm going to kill it, and they're all going to want me.
If you have five lines in a movie, I don't think you're getting $10,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I don't think...
Really?
I think you're getting...
I don't... Look,
why are people wanting to be in movies?
Oh, for the red carpet.
Yeah, there's auxiliary.
I'm not even going to be able to afford the Uber to the red carpet on your salary.
Yeah, so now the other side,
mm-hmm.
You are Forrest Gump or you are Ace Ventura.
See, the way I'm looking at it is I need it to be like a gigantic hit in that would be in like the sci-fi arena. Or somewhere.
Oh, you want the conferences.
I want to go. I want to live the Comic Con life.
Signing autographs and meeting people.
That is
that probably dress up like you.
Yep. And that is one part for the rest of your life. Like if you're in
Yeah, no, you're right here. You're good to go on those.
That actually, I mean, if you really think about it, I know that like.
Firefly, is that the name of a.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So like the cast from Firefly. They can go. I know it was a show and then a movie, but they could just go do Comic Cons
forever
for the rest of their life and make enough money.
When you look at the movies, and I know he's made a ton and done TV shows and stuff, but like realistically, Michael J. Fox,
right?
Your one iconic character that you're known for forever.
Yeah,
I mean, there's not. I mean, if you say Teen Wolf, you're not talking about the hit of the career. Like, it's one great one, or Aragorn from Lord of the Rings.
Yes,
if you had done that role,
fantasy
I know Viggo's done other stuff, but it's like that role. If you did that and that was all you ever did.
Yes.
Or you were Gandalf and that's all you ever did, you could go to the Comic Cons forever.
Forever. Forever.
I'm charging
for your autograph.
Now, do you.
The SAG day rate is 1,000 minimum, 3,700 for the week. That's the minimum rate.
Okay. So maybe you're pulling in.
I think I'm pulling in more money.
Wait. You just saw.
That's the minimum.
Yeah, that's the minimum.
Yeah.
What do you think that the people paying are going to want to shell out here? The maximum? Like, they're trying to... You're a bit part, man.
No, but you stack bit parts up, and all of a sudden, your agents go into these movies, and you're the desirable bit part actor. They're not looking at you like the bare bones, sag bottom.
Okay, so five...
Saggy bottom.
Let's say $5,000. $5,000.
That's only $25,000 a year.
Exactly,
no,
my point.
I'm making a lot more than that.
$1,000 a day.
No, that's the SAG minimum for an extra
or something. I make the movie.
That's an extra, right? As long as they're part of SAG.
Well, of course you would. You have to have a... I think you'd have to have a speaking role.
Yeah.
But
I was... I'm figuring I'm bringing home at least $25,000 a movie.
So
they don't pay $25,000 for someone to say...
Yes, they do. You see these budgets?
Four or five lines.
If I had a bit part in Waterworld, I'd be rich.
Going back to the Comic-Con, do you look at that with envy, kind of the way where I'm talking about it, or is it... Do you feel like that's an unfortunate life where you...
It would get old.
Where you... I mean, if you're doing Comic-Con life and you're known for... saying a phrase, or like, you're doing that phrase.
Never
for,
give up.
Yes.
Never surrender.
You're actually, doing that no. for everybody.
Never give up. Never surrender.
That's amazing you had that. If you were that character with that name, like that's your only role, you're on the street, that's what you're called.
Uh-huh.
Like, and you're Marty McFly. You're not Michael J. Fox.
You don't get privacy. If you're like a super revered part in a famous movie that everybody knows.
Is there one that we can think of that is like this?
Well, there's...
Like one...
Where it was a one-hit wonder? And
a
one-hit
wonder
again?
Lead. You know, I the one I would think of, like, I don't know. Who's the guy who plays William Riker from Star Trek?
Oh, we always have to look his name up.
I never know. Yeah, exactly. You know what you'd call him if you saw him on the street? Riker. You'd be like, number one.
It's Jonathan Frakes.
Frakes.
That's it.
So you never, like, you see that person. He never did anything. Now, that was a TV show, I know, but it's like, put it in the same scope.
Never happened. Well, what about if you were Worf? Because do people recognize him on the street?
Yeah, because he dresses up every day to make sure people know. I'm the Klingon that you know.
Question. When you are that character, if you're Worf, and you go, are you signing Worf?
Yes, of course
you
are.
Do you sign Riker? No, you sign your name, right?
You sign what people ask you to sign.
But then you probably have to put Worf in the quotes because they don't know.
So this is...
The Worf.
I think
what a name.
I know Worf.
What a name. Now that I'm saying it so many times, Worf.
It's kind of like the sound a dog makes when it's going to vomit.
Worf. Get over
here,
Worf.
Come here, Worf. Right, go on.
I think I'm going with the five movies per year.
You want to keep
at $1,000 each?
Because, yeah, look, I'm not doing this for the money. I'm doing this for the love of the game. Love it is fun to be on set and five movies a year. That means you're with different casts, maybe sometimes the same, maybe different movies, different roles. You know, you play that one iconic role. I think you, even if you've got that Comic-Con life, I think you're going to really get annoyed by it. Just, you know, it's like
it's possible. Yeah.
I don't think you're going to enjoy it's the same thing over and over and over. And it might be really cool year one. Year 10, you're just gonna be like this.
Well, you don't have to do them every year.
Well, sure, but I'm just saying, like,
I've got three good examples now.
Oh, okay. All right.
Ralph Macchio was the Karate Kid and nothing else. Mark Hamill, I know it's a bunch of movies, but if you think about it.
Yeah. That was the one.
He's Luke Skywalker, and that's it. He's never done anything.
Well, he's also the Joker.
He's the Joker's voice in a cartoon. That's
Mike,
stop.
No, but I'm
saying. You're known for one. That's not a feature film.
But I'm saying in that, like, that was a part that you could Comic-Con. Like, if he was only the Joker.
And Macaulay Culkin.
Ooh.
Macaulay Culkin was 100% a one-hit wonder. Now you
good kid or whatever.
Oh, the good son.
The good son.
Oh gosh, yeah.
What
a
movie.
I don't know. If I was Macaulay Culkin, that's the nightmare, because that was childhood actor one-hit wonder, and the rest of your life you're trying to just be anything but the Home Alone kid,
like Sixth Sense kid. Joel Osment.
Yeah. Yep.
He's done some other.
Yeah, of course they continue being an actor, but
I'd rather be Mark Hamill than I would do five bit parts a year.
Yes.
Because that was so high of a high esteem.
Well, that's the point of this
question. That is
question,
the point, though, right?
Like, it is a blockbuster hit, loved by all, and you're the lead. So, yeah, this is...
That's Mark
Hamill.
You're Mark Hamill.
You are...
Yeah, I'm taking that.
Okay.
I'm taking that.
I'm shocked at myself that I'm going to take the five movies, but I really want the experience of being on set.
I agree with that. That would be fun. I just thought, like, Mike's saying you can do the Comic-Con. You're signing autographs, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you are somebody like that, your autograph memorabilia is worth money, right?
Oh, yeah.
So then,
sorta,
like,
yeah.
You can just sign your own stuff and sell your own stuff?
Yes, you can.
Like, Pete Rose can just, like, as a baseball player, you just sign your own stuff and sell your own stuff.
He's done that for...
40 years, right?
Yeah, forever.
But they...
It's so weird if you have your own autograph is worth money.
You could, but it's... You get... It's the guaranteed money. Because I'm sure they're going to pay you just to show up an appearance fee. And then you set your... Like, I've heard Shatner's... price for, like, just an autograph is, like, you know, over $100.
Would you be that guy, Jay? Would you be the guy that, like, no free autographs?
No, I would sign free autographs. That wouldn't bother me at all. I would.
You have a very long, it takes you a while to sign an autograph. That's been a real burden.
It is, because it's I was going to point out to you, Andy, as you're like, you realize that you know, if you could sell your own autograph, you could sign your own stuff and sell. You know, we do that. we literally sell our autographs, our footballs, and your book.
I guess I meant the demand. The demand for your autograph. Like Michael Jordan, right? Like, Michael Jordan's autograph on something is valuable.
Yeah,
now, it gets less valuable if there's millions of them. That's why, like, Pete Rose is
also, but to get to
going
that,
down in value.
To get to that level of a Michael Jordan, that's not one movie.
It's one role, though.
Yeah.
Because Mark Hamill signing, I mean, if you have Luke Skywalker signing your Star Wars stuff.
Mark Hamill's not the Michael Jordan level, though.
He's the Michael Jordan of the Star Wars world. he's Michael Jordan on Tatooine.
Okay.
All right. Would you rather...
Wait, what was your answer, Mike?
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's a good question.
I think I'm taking the bit parts.
All right.
Live that life. Get to do it five times a year. That sounds fun.
That's where I started. I switched over when Jason told me that they don't pay you. Would you rather have the best looking lawn on your block year round or have the best holiday displays on the block for Halloween and Christmas?
I could care less about my lawn.
Ooh, okay.
That's the one I'm taking.
Well, yeah, but you're the old man. Wharf.
Goodness. Swallow a frog much?
That's what I'm going to say from now on. Whenever.
Wharf?
Whenever I've got a frog in my throat.
I got a wharf in my throat.
Oh.
Wharf.
Continue.
It's easily the best looking lawn. I struggle trying to put myself in the position of these people that they go all out. We have one house on our street.
For the lawn or for the holiday?
For the holiday. We have a house on our street that goes all out for Halloween, for Christmas. It's awesome. I mean, people.
Oh, I've been there.
People gather. It's the fully synced audio light show. But then think about living in that house. Like, there's always people gathered outside your house.
Tuning into the radio station.
Standing around watching your house.
That's fine. Why? How?
I don't know, man.
I don't even think you'd know. You wouldn't care. It's not like your blinds are up and your lights are on inside and
your blinds better not
in your
be
undies.
Up.
Man, for once, there should be one of those houses and the guy's just dancing in front of the window. Just he just the once the
He's
eyes
part
on
part of the display.
Yeah, I mean that
I
would there would
I don't
be a lot of
that
it.
Attention.
So you don't want the attention. You're not
right.
Talking about the work to do it.
Correct. I'm saying, but people just gathered out. Cars always outside my house the entire. Christmas
I would love
period.
The. I'd love the landscape and the lawn thing. I think that would be amazing if it just looked pristine and perfect. Like you had a full time gardener. Got to look into that.
I
Wharf.
Like, when I think of my front yard, if it was desert landscaping with gravel,
you wouldn't care.
I wouldn't care at all.
Oh man,
yeah, you're just not
really.
Yeah, you got to have a nice front yard.
Yeah.
I think when I drive. When I drive down the street, any street, any neighborhood, I don't remember ever once in my life being like, whoa,
well,
that lawn.
Part of that is Arizona.
Okay,
so,
sure, that's where we live.
I have a different house in my neighborhood, and they're They have actual grass in the front of their house.
All looks good.
And every time you see that house, you're, whoa.
Yeah.
That house looks great. It's so sharp.
But for me, I have driven, you know, the holiday season's come around and you mm-hmm. go driving with your hot cocoa in the car and
yeah.
look at light displays. And sometimes I am blown away. I'm like, whoa.
You ever been to one that amazing. Had like a totally, like they have a great light display, but the yard is like a horrible mess. Like there's weeds everywhere.
I don't think so.
I think those come hand in hand.
Yeah.
Those people take care of their house.
I would agree with that.
But you're going the Halloween
I'm going
display.
Holidays, yeah.
Okay. And I can't get up for Halloween on the display stuff. I know people do it. They spend money. Those gigantic, super tall things are now all the rage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you get those home. They must be put together.
Yeah, we've tried.
And
to,
how do you need a ladder?
Where do you store these things?
You need a gigantic ladder to get to the top of them. I built a giant Christmas tree once, and I was like, the hardest part was getting high enough to put the top on.
My question is, where do these? How do people have so much storage?
We literally just went to a Halloween display that was like this, and it looked amazing. But I asked the guy, I said, where do you store this? And he said he had 3 storage units.
That yeah.
That he pays
yeah.
for?
Yeah.
Pays yearly to store his.
That makes
what?
Sense. You would have to.
A psychopath.
That's not worth it.
Yeah, but you're the house. Like when we grew up, there was one house around the block that did Halloween. And I definitely looked at that house with incredible fondness. I was like, they care.
But what did it bring them?
What did it cost?
I mean, every
monthly fees year round. Mike, your final answer?
The lawn.
Lawn. Yeah. Ellie from Page. Do we got time for one more or do you want to move on?
Let's do one more.
All right. Do you have a preference?
Nope.
Ellie from Patreon. Would you rather have the ability to always remember people's names and faces or remember every book, movie, or show you ever consumed in complete detail?
Oh, man. I struggle with both of these.
I do too.
I would really like both of these options.
The first one is actually, there's a problem for me. I would love to remember people's names and faces, but that's not as much of my problem as anything going on in their lives.
Oh,
I feel like it's almost worse. You set yourself up if you're just like, I remember you instantly, but then I don't remember anything about what's going on. Or you're like, I struggle with like these friends that I have that I don't see a lot, and they all have kids. I don't remember the kids' AIDS.
Kids' age.
Uh-huh.
Age.
How old they are.
Mm-hmm. You know, when they were born.
Worf.
I can't. What a good one to mess up, right? Wow. I don't remember their
how
kids.
How old they are.
Ages, genders, or any of that. So it's like, I feel bad because I want to be like, how's little, whatever the kid's name is, doing in whatever grade they're in.
But that's easy. How's the little rascal?
Well, I can ask the question. And a lot of the times I do that.
How's Champ doing?
But the problem is that you don't even remember if they're a boy or a girl. And you're like, how's the little guy? Or how's the little one doing?
Perfect. You've just covered
You did solve it right there.
It's not a problem.
Yeah. And then they're like, which one? We have twins. Who are you talking about?
Oh, the one you that I saw last time.
The older one.
So the other one is the movie, show, all that stuff. I forget that stuff so quick, and it actually makes me mad.
Yeah, me too. I'm always jealous of Mike being able to remember every reference, every line of anything he's read or seen. You've got a mind like a steel trap. And I hate that I don't get to remember, like, you know, we'll be watching a show, and if it's one of those, you know, comes out every week thing, I feel like I sit down to watch the show and I'm like, what, where are we? I don't remember what's going on in this show. But I'm still happy with watching that.
You
next
get to rewatch
episode.
Things
I get to rewatch them. I still love movies, books, shows, so I don't think it has a negative effect on me. The when you come into contact with someone that you're supposed to know, and you know you're supposed to know this
mm-hmm,
person
mm-hmm.
and I don't remember their name,
yep,
and I don't remember their face, that affects me. That makes me feel awful. And so I certainly am going to take the ability to remember people's names and faces over being able to rewatch movies.
You have a great memory, Mike. You remember movies, plots, books, mm-hmm. things, video games?
Books, I don't.
Okay, really?
Yeah, like
I was going to ask about the names. Like, so tell me, books you don't? Yeah. Do names and faces, are they part of it?
I can focus as if I remind myself to, like, you know, when you're meeting someone, doing the repetition of their name, using their name intentionally, I can remember a name, but often I'm like, I don't care. So unfortunately at that moment, and then it usually comes back to bite you in the butt.
That's the problem with the names and the faces. That is the real problem.
Yeah.
The truth is you don't care.
That's exactly right. And when people don't,
I don't remember your name. I just didn't care.
That's the truth.
It's the truth. And sometimes that's excusable to a degree, right? Like we have,
they didn't care either.
It's kind of one of those things where we have a higher demand on others than we do on ourselves. It's like, you should all remember what's going on in my life, but then forgive me if I forget what's going on in your life. But it does equate to a lot of people. It would translate to I don't care about you.
Yeah. And the worst part, and this is probably more of a me problem, but it's like on number 4 or 5, it's like, oh man, I don't remember you again.
Oh, if you strike out.
Yeah. It's like everyone can forgive it at first. Like, oh yeah, we only met one time. I wouldn't expect you to remember me, but it's like, dude, we've been getting lunch together every day for a week. You got to remember my name.
Is the reaction in those situations, do you let it go real quick, or are you the over-explainer of why you might have forgot something?
Oh, I let it go and clam up.
Yeah, you just say, shoot.
You don't go,
sorry.
Yeah, you don't.
Because it's really not a big deal.
You don't go into a, oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Shoot.
I do know this stuff about you. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, no, I just go, Worf. I don't care about
Hey, Worf.
Spitballers to the rescue.
We're going to do something different on this edition of Life Advice. We're going to have Al Borland read these out, because I feel like we are kind of like the counselors, the psychiatrists,
yeah.
And I just feel like I want Al to choose these and kind of submit them to us, almost like a...
like, this is like Dear Abby.
Yeah, exactly. Like one of those letters. So, Al, do you mind doing that for us?
Perfect. Sounds good. All right. This one comes in from Jennifer. I'm a bottom-up toothpaste squeezer, and my husband, Tom, is a free-for-all squisher.
Oh, man.
Our bathroom sink has become a modern art exhibit of toothpaste residue. How can I nudge him towards a more orderly squeeze, or do I have to start buying toothpaste in pairs?
So, any strong feelings on this? Is there any
big-time strong feelings?
As strong as, like, toilet paper over-the-top feelings?
Not that strong, but it is a tier below that. Because I
don't. And the funny thing is I guess I have to imagine for you to have strong feelings, you have to be on the bottom up squeezer.
Yeah, there's
you can't have strong feelings of being like doing whatever you want with it.
Right, I'm just squeezing the
don't
middle.
Don't tell me how to live.
So I really have questions about this, because I am not you. I become you when the tube gets to a level.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm a free for all guy for the first three quarters of a tube. Because why do I have to worry about rolling it up?
I can get that. I see that.
Well, so are you a first beginning squeeze? You're like getting prepped to roll the bottom?
I never roll the bottom, but I squeeze from the bottom up. So
every time?
Every time. Without a doubt.
Interesting.
Yeah, because the toothpaste looks so much nicer.
Now, you seem like the kind of guy that probably also then doesn't forget to put the cap on.
My goodness, there is nothing more inferior.
I knew it.
Is toilet paper level
that's worse.
Annoyance.
That's worse.
It ruins the whole bottle.
It crusts up, and you either end up in a like good 10-minute clean situation, or it, you know, it just ruins it.
Yeah, I don't want to squeeze toothpaste that I'm going to put in my mouth out, touching the gooped up, gunked, hardened toothpaste.
Yeah, because it becomes a smaller hole.
And this little tiny squirt of toothpaste.
It's covered in
germs.
Absolutely.
It's covered in nasty. Now let me put that in my mouth to clean it. Give me a break.
Now, I don't think this is something that you're going to be able to change about your husband.
No.
Well, I have some advice.
Okay.
But first off, the squeezing of the toothpaste and the residue, those are two different problems. That's someone not washing up afterwards. My wife is type A, definitely squeezed from the bottom. I have gotten there, cause I used
due to being beckoned to do that.
No, just, just I grew up.
Maturing.
I grew up.
Being a grown up.
But she never complained?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we didn't have a problem. But later on in life, we got these like a clamp for your toothpaste.
Mm-hmm. And they work?
Yeah, like cuz you as soon
I've
as
seen the clamp.
As soon as it starts deflating towards the end, you just put the clamp on and that's what you start squeezing up.
You can get all that toothpaste.
I haven't been able to support big clamp. Do they actually work? Are they metal?
No, it's just a little plastic thing. But it's almost more of a reminder of
squeeze from the bottom.
Go from the bottom.
Yeah, I think that could help in this situation for Jennifer. I haven't gotten the clamp because I can do it with my hand. It's
you're self accountable. You have a built-in clamp.
Right. I've never had a problem getting toothpaste out of a container unless someone leaves the lid off.
I think there's an answer though.
The most infuriating part, since we just talked about it. So I understand for some reason it's impossible to put to find that cap and screw it back on the toothpaste.
Right.
So for years, I have spent more money on the nicer, fancy Crest tubes is all I'll buy because the it's the flip top.
It's got the hinge?
It's got the hinge.
Oh, yeah,
you can't lose this thing.
That's the key.
You can't lose it. You can't, it's just, you don't need two hands to put it on.
What if you lose it? Like, you don't get that one. What if you lose the top? Are you done?
Yeah, I'm throwing
or
that
Or are you
tube
trying
away.
To create a different top?
No, I'm throwing that tube away. That tube's going to be garbage. If you
Or do you use like it. A lot because you're like, it's in the middle of crusting
up. Like saran wrap or something?
No, toothpaste is not that expensive where I've got to create a MacGyver situation to keep the rest of that toothpaste right. fresh.
What?
A,
okay,
but,
go ahead.
But my passion here is because I shared for years, I bought the flip top. They still can't close.
Correct.
They still can't close the cap.
Yeah.
It's built in. It's one-handed. You can do it so easy. And to not do it ruins and nastifies the toothpaste. I can't
you
get
need,
my family to do this.
You need to buy the dispenser.
Oh, I've tried that. Yep.
The one where you put the thing underneath.
What, it gives
and
you
it,
like
and
a
gives
single
you some?
Serve?
Yeah, those
yeah,
things.
Yeah, the single serve.
Those things break.
Too
me.
Cheap.
Yeah. Anyways, my answer for Jennifer, because I have lived a lot of this life, I got middle squeezers. I just got monsters. And my children, we kind of all, our toothbrushes are in the same area, so they use the toothpaste in the same room. I have just purchased more toothpaste. I hide my toothpaste in my drawer, and it is always perfect. Now, that was the solution I came up with.
There's nothing wrong with that. You're going to use the same amount of toothpaste in your family no matter whether you have two or one. You just use it half as fast.
Absolutely. It's the one area in my life where I'm like always stocked. I've got extra tubes under
I didn't know
sink.
You were this serious about toothpaste.
I didn't
pretty,
either.
Because to me, when you get that hard toothpaste, it is disgusting. It's so nasty to me.
Okay. All right. Let's do one more before we get into drafts.
All right. We'll see if Jason is as passionate about bread as he is toothpaste.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oliver, my significant other insists on spinning the bread bag and tucking the end under, claiming that it's quicker. I'm all for using the twist tie as I believe it keeps the bread fresher. Our kitchen encounters have now become a twist versus tuck standoff. Please settle this for us.
Oliver.
I've got opinions here, too.
Oh, yeah. Is your opinion that Oliver's an idiot?
Which side is Oliver on?
He uses the twist tie.
Yeah, I mean, you're not doing any more benefit twist tying than you are tucking.
Exactly right.
There's no extra air getting in. The twist tie is not sealing all the air.
The twist tie is not some special scientific invention that is made to keep air out. It's just a little.
Yeah, you can't build a submarine and then I'm just going to put a couple twist ties on here.
No, the air is
sealed.
Arguably, the twist tie gives you an excuse to twist it less.
Yes.
Because you quickly get the tie on there. Whereas when you don't use a twist tie, I twist it like a lot.
Yeah, and then you tuck it under.
And then I do a tuck.
Yeah.
There's not just the twist tie, though. There's also the claw where it's...
They have... Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where it's not the twist. It's just... It's the one plastic piece.
Yes.
And then you have to twist up the bread in a certain way just to make sure that it gets... And then it falls off all
the
time.
You
want to
get wild, go get a bread box. A sealed bread box if you want to prevent every bit of oxygen. But there is one weakness to the twist and tuck. Do we know what this is?
I would imagine it's that it could come untucked.
It's when the loaf gets small, because the weight of the loaf on the tuck is significant to keeping the tuck secure.
You got
to
do like a full wrap.
When you're done with, you wrap.
Yeah, you
after
twist.
It's,
you
after you're down to three or four pieces.
You twist, you tuck, and you wrap it over.
Tuck, and wrap.
I use the twisty tie while the loaf is big, because I feel like I'm not getting enough closure. But
you take just two pieces out, you got to use the twist tie.
We'll stay in the twist. But
that makes sense, because you don't have enough room.
Exactly. After I've removed about a quarter of the loaf, then that thing's going in the garbage. I don't have time for that.
There's got to be companies that are just producing the twist tie thing.
Oh, for sure.
Or just the little plastic piece, the claw.
Billions sold.
They don't want you to
also,
tuck.
Also, if Oliver, maybe you feel like you need something fancier, let me give you an upgrade on the twist and tuck.
Okay.
If you want it to look nicer and not feel like it can just come undone, I don't know if either of you have done this or experienced this.
Like a chip clip?
No. It's the twist and roll. What you do is you twist the excess of the bag up, and then you're gonna fold the excess back
around.
Over.
Yeah, that's how I do it.
Okay, so you, that's not a twist and tuck. The twist and tuck is like twist, and then you lay the bread on the excess.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But the twist
roll. No, I do. I fold it over.
Oh, you do the roll.
That's
nice. I'm a twist and tuck, but there's no need for this little clip.
No,
I mean, you were human beings. We figured out how to prevent more air getting in there.
I have a 100% success rate of losing the twist tie initially.
Oh, for sure.
I take it off.
Find it. I know where it is.
No. I mean,
it's next to all the caps to the toothpaste.
I eventually find it, but I'm saying it's never the first place where.
Yeah.
Like I put the twist tie here. No, it's somehow on the kitchen island, and I don't know how it got
there. I think
it's
a Toy Story situation. Like when you're not looking at that twist tie,
they walk off. All right, one more, Al.
All right, let's do it. This one comes in from Reggie. He says, in our house, I insist on writing a grocery list before hitting the store. My wife feels that it is unnecessary, preferring to wing it, which usually results in forgotten essentials and impulse buys. Please tell my wife she is wrong.
Well, listen, I mean,
I can say, Reggie, your wife is wrong, but this is your life. Because I am, in fact, this is how I roll.
Now, which one are you? You're the...
No list. Oh, my gosh, dude. My wife is, again, type A, always has a grocery list.
Always.
And wants me to use it. But here's the problem. The grocery list is not... It's set up as you're thinking of items.
Mm-hmm.
It is not set up to the layout of the grocery store. So now I go and I'm checking off, like, the 30th item. And then I go to the next aisle and it's the second one. And then now I'm at the 52nd item. And I'm spending all my time here I'm wasting just crazy amounts of time going through the list.
How do you get all the stuff she wants?
I eyeball it.
So wait, when you get back and you've got half the items from the list?
Yeah.
She can't be happy with you.
But you know what? I was at the grocery store.
Wait, is this one of those do it bad so she always does the shopping?
No, I end up doing it, or we do the pickup. But I'm the one who goes and does it. And it's just, look, if I'm going to go, you live with my process and you live with my results.
There is no,
I'm not
go
using
ahead,
a list.
Ever. I love and adore a grocery list. Oh, man.
What?
It just... Yeah, it fulfills me.
Who is
me.
This Jason?
I know.
Wait, do you get satisfaction checking it off?
Oh, yeah. Checking it off and making sure that I got everything. And
item number one, toothpaste. Item number two, toothpaste.
More importantly, making sure that it's not... Like, if I wing it, and this is the problem that Reggie here brought up. When I wing it, I buy so much more stuff.
That's 100% the truth.
Because I'm looking... At
but
everything
I
want.
I like that.
I walked through.
I like some surprises.
Yeah. So, like, my wife is a winger. And if she doesn't have a list, she's coming home with two grocery carts. And it's stuff that is just so delicious and good and bad and awful.
So you
shouldn't
are a,
be in the house.
You're a full lister. You're a no lister, Mike.
Right.
I'm actually right in between where I think I just want a couple of the core important things that I'm potentially going to forget, I write down. And then the rest of it, I'm like, I kind of know we probably should get. In my opinion, this is what I always tell my wife. I'm like, if you get a little bit more of something that you don't know for sure that we have, we'll be fine. if you don't get it, we might be out of it. So I always want to have a little bit extra. Like, you're not sure we have milk? Maybe just get a little bit more milk.
Yeah,
I get that.
And then we'll drink it. I promise. I'll drink it. I'll eat extras if you get it. So very interesting. Yeah, Al, out of curiosity, are you a Lister?
I'm, excuse me, kind of in your camp.
Worf. Thank you, Worf.
I like to show up with a list, but I love to impulse buy as well, so I'm a hybrid.
Yeah, don't take the impulse buying away. That, look, we act like, oh, we're being suckers to the marketing. Yeah, and it's fun. It's delicious. If I'm a sucker to the marketing, it's a delicious. Now, I would be the lowest per hour Instacart employee that they've ever hired, because finding things in a store and doing any of that competently, I might be the worst on the planet. Mm. To Mike's point,
yeah,
of like, the list is, it actually is stressful, because I'm going to bounce all over the store. I'm going to go in order of the list. I'm going to ask the employee 52 times where stuff is. And I can't find stuff in stores. I just can't. And I guess you memorize it eventually, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's my problem. I go to different stores too often.
Oh, you got it. You got to pick one. You got to find your home base.
That's the problem.
And it's not.
I don't have a home base.
And it's not even like we. I shop at Fry's. We have that's kind of one of our chains here. But you have to go to the same one.
Mm, oh,
because
yeah, for sure.
Fries to Fry's, they're laid out differently. I don't know what we're doing here.
Some of them are real.
Just lay them out all the same.
Yeah, and there,
I need to know where I'm going.
There's a war that can go on. Like in my household, there is a war. We live on a corner where one corner is Fry's, and then Kitty Corner is an Albertsons.
Yep.
Mm. And I got used to Albertsons. That's where I got.
And it's a little closer for you. You don't have to cross the whole intersection. Yeah,
but
it's a little
my
nicer.
Wife loves the fries. Mm. That's what she likes. And so it's really become a situation where I hate that fries. I hate it now.
Oh, because it represents.
And Albertsons is the right place to go. You know what I mean? Because like, that's why I know where the yogurt is there. I don't know where the yogurt is.
So does she say go to Fry's and grab this sometimes?
Oh, she wants me to go to Fry's, which is so foolish.
Do you ever.
Classic marital dispute.
Have you ever done all your shopping at Albertsons? Or what did you say?
Yeah,
Albertsons?
He's the Albertsons guy.
But then just put all the stuff into Fry's bags?
No, I don't want to support that. I would do the opposite. If I went to Fry's and bought something, I wouldn't want her to know I gave in.
Okay. All right, let's draft.
The Spitballers Draft.
All right, Mike, you have the first pick in our Garden Center Battle Royale. We've all been in those garden centers. I actually miss them. Some of the stores around here, like Target, used to have a garden center.
I feel like the garden center is always outside.
It's mostly outside.
And then you're just like, I can't go out there. No, that's too hot.
Target used to have an outdoor garden
center. They did.
Oh, for years. It was my sneaky way to get in and out of the Target with no line.
Yeah, smart.
You'd go in there, and then you'd bring your normal goods out to the garden center and check out there, even if you didn't buy garden center stuff. Real sneaky. And you can do that at Walmart right now. Walmart has a garden center, much lower lines.
Because you always park
by the garden center, yep, which no one parks by.
Absolutely. You get closer parking and it works. But the reason it works is because you feel like you're not allowed to buy.
Yeah.
Like, you can't check out milk at the garden center, but you can.
Should you sneak like one garden item in?
I usually do. Like, I needed this.
Another shovel,
that's
sir.
Why I'm here.
All right, Mike, you get the first pick.
Okay.
We are battling. We are we're in a full war.
We're
in a war.
We're trying to kill each other.
Yeah.
So I have learned from my esteemed colleague the value of a spear type of a weapon.
It's the most powerful weapon.
That's what I've heard, especially when you're fighting boars. But I am going to take, I don't know if I have to specify what kind, but I'm just a tree pruner. It's essentially a stick, and then there is a big blade on the end of it.
It's a saw.
It's a spear.
It's a saw on the end of a giant pole. That's great.
It's good. There, I will say this. I've bought a few of those in my day. And sometimes they'll little bolt on the end. Al might know that it gets a little loose. And then the blade just bends over itself. So you might just have a stick after a little while.
That's still useful for me.
No, but that's good.
Also, I mean, I'm not trying to take care of my foliage with this.
You're not severing our arms slowly with a saw?
No, this is a stab from distance type of a situation.
All right, tree pruner.
All right. I like that. I like the distance. Distance is always going to be important in these battles. But you start with power. You start with the ability to just mow you down. Okay. I'm taking a chainsaw. I mean, how is that not the number
there's
one
chainsaws
pick?
There's chainsaws?
No,
in the
there's
garden?
Not. There's no chainsaws
what?
In the garden center.
There's no chainsaws no. in the garden center? It no. is on It is on the Home Depot's garden
yeah,
center.
Yeah, I mean, then you're just bridging this gap. I mean, Al can make the decision. I took that off my list on purpose.
Okay, Al, what's the ruling here?
I mean, I never saw a chainsaw in at a garden center at Walmart.
Yeah, there's chainsaw type things that I think are you could easily take.
I knew you were going to do this. I knew it 100%. If you want it, you can
me,
have it.
We're going to overrule it.
Oh,
okay. All right. Okay.
Denied.
All right. Well, get ready to keep overruling. All right.
I'll take a broadsword.
What do you mean there's no broadsword?
I'll follow that with a machine gun.
Okay. This is where I've seen them sold.
Okay.
But if you want to overrule it because it's too powerful, that's fine. I would take, if allowed, a pressure washer. Is
okay.
that in a garden center?
Unfortunately, I wish I had given you the chainsaw.
Yeah, because you wanted the pressure washer?
It was part of my magical combo.
Oh, good. That's what you get.
Oof. That bit you in the butt.
Yeah. The pressure washer, that thing is, I mean, you could really hurt
you
someone
can push
with that.
Yeah, push enemies back with it even if it's not pain. Yeah, like you keep them back. I'm not running up to you with a pressure washer on.
Yeah I'm going full like that tiny little bead.
Trying to bore a hole through
oh
us?
Absolutely. I'm yeah. cutting you with this water.
Get someone in the face with that.
Who
I mean, I feel like then I need a shield for that pressure washer.
Yeah, you're gonna want to get that metal garbage.
I'm devastated because I had a whole plan. I was going to combine that pressure washer.
Plan is in shambles.
I mean, I was combining it with some serious hardcore chemicals.
Yeah.
I was going to put the pesticides in it, and that was going to be my start. Now I got to start all over.
Good. Thanks for overruling my chainsaw, Al.
It was a fair overrule, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was. Honestly, it was at the bottom of my list because I thought it's probably not going to
fly. It was on the edge.
But then I was like,
of
I'm just going
to
take it.
It went
first.
To the top real quick.
We have done a hardware store battle royale.
That's where it gets a little, that's where it's tough. And yeah. And Al, you get to be the official overruler of these things. I'm just going to, look, you both have some significantly troubling items for my battle. Mike, you got the tree pruner.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to take some brute force here, and I'm just going to take a shovel.
Oh, it's a great. It's mm-hmm. on my list. Yeah,
and we're not talking like a little hand shovel, to be clear. Just a normal shovel,
not
the flat
snow?
Top.
Not a snow shovel. Just the regular.
No, because a snow shovel, I get it. I know that, like in Home Alone, is
yeah.
very useful.
Oh, he takes them out.
It's just not as long range. Like a snow
shovel. Okay.
Worf.
Snow.
So I'm gonna take just a standard shovel.
All right.
For my second pick, I'm gonna take a bag. Of river rock.
I
thought
okay.
about this late. It was at the bottom of my
All
list.
Right.
But I actually think at this point, look, I've got a giant bag of river rock. Those are the kind of stones you can skip. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So I'm hurt. I could throw them at you.
Yep.
So that's range. So I'm going to go with that.
That's good. That's good. My next thing on the top of my list is very, very similar. I won't be able to throw it as far, but I'm going to hurt you a lot more. I'm taking a pallet of pavers.
Okay, so there's bricks.
Dude, you're going to get so tired throwing those at us.
Throwing bricks, bricks maybe is more visual.
Pavers.
Yeah, pavers, I mean, they're just like, they're brick size,
uh-huh.
but they're a little fancy. You know what I mean? They just look a little nicer when they hit you.
Interesting.
Like but that
octagon
was,
shape.
A pallet of pavers. We got to come to you in that way. That's a more of a defensive.
Yeah.
Because you can't bring the paver to me.
Oh, sure I can. You're telling me I can't
No,
use...
you can bring one paver.
That's
I'm just
what
saying,
I mean.
Oh, I just meant the pallet is going to be in a stationary location.
Oh, yeah. I just want to have enough to throw, but I will eventually grab one of these and run after you.
Yeah, that makes more sense. So a blunt. You can blunt force
this,
it.
This is just...
Maybe you get close and you throw it.
Yeah, it's kind of
I'm
like
collecting
brass
them.
Knuckles.
I'm collecting them, and I'm making a nice path to my home base.
Okay, very beautiful, because these aren't bricks.
These are
pavers.
Yeah. All right, Mike. You have a couple of picks.
All right, so I've got my pole arm and the device. I thought, Jay, you might just pivot to it, but I will take a hedge trimmer, which is basically
a chainsaw.
Which is basically a chainsaw, but it is used for gardening situations. Mm. And then I'm going to follow that up.
So this isn't, that is allowed? This was in the-
I mean, I'm sitting here going,
Really? Oh, okay.
Well, because technically, when you go into a garden center, you don't see them there. You have to go into a hardware store to buy it. You never see them outdoors. So I think if you're thinking of an outdoor garden center, I think you might have to omit it.
That's I can move on.
It was also drafted in our hardware store battle.
So we don't want
crossover. And I'm not seeing it on Walmart.com's garden center. So I think we're going to overrule that.
All right.
I think it is. It's literally a chainsaw.
But
for hedges.
For bushes.
No, right, we're going to have to move on.
That's fine. I will take then I will start here with my aerator spiked shoes.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
I have no idea.
They make those shoes that you...
Imagine cleats, but they're just nails.
Yeah.
So you can walk through your lawn and aerate it.
Okay.
I think that's a real problem for you, Mike.
Yeah. You don't want to wear those.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody walk on non-grass with those.
Where are we? We're in the store?
We're fighting in the store.
All right, well, I'll be on the sod display.
No, I'm saying...
I can't leave.
If you catch us sleeping and you stand on our bodies, that will be painful.
I'm doing jump kicks, roundhouses. Yeah,
maybe you have one on and you hop around.
Yeah.
What's funny is if you aren't on grass, like cleats.
Oh, I will fall.
When we played in a flag football league, it always blew my mind how I could barely walk to the grass field if I was in cleats from the car. Because I'm like sliding around and I've got no grip on the ground. So that'll be a good time for you.
All right, Mike, you've got some sliding shoes.
That's fine.
I picked roller skates.
I would if I could. Andy, what did you took the rocks?
I took the bag of rocks and a shovel.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then I will take the weed killer then. I will take the pressurized squirt bottle of poison.
Yeah, you're going to have to pump it a little bit, right?
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay.
That's right. I'll be on the ground.
Yeah.
Because I'll be falling over.
I was
going
to take it towards the end if it snuck back to me.
Nah.
So you get some weed killer.
Poison. Now,
I don't know how damaging that is. I don't know if you're giving me slowly forming.
In the face?
Well, I just meant I might get slow formed cancer out 20, 40 years from now.
No, it's not
but you'll
that.
Die a winner of the battle royale.
Maybe.
Nah, you get that thing in your eyes, you're toast.
I'm sure it can blind a person.
Yeah, so there's only one way to find out. We'll have to do this battle.
Yeah.
All right, Jason, you're back on the clock. You have the pressure washer, which we'll let you have.
Yeah, because we already moved past it.
I didn't realize that snuck through the same way the others did.
All right, so I've got the pressure washer. We've got a lot of things here that we can hurt.
I think he needs the pressure washer that has the pump. I don't think it can be powered.
Well, if it's powered, then he's stuck to the wall.
If he's powered, he bought it in the store.
You know the powered ones have a really long...
He has to have the one where
long...
you push down.
That's not a pressure washer. I didn't buy an insecticide
spray. Oh, yeah, that's
an
insecticide spray.
All right, so...
Yeah, that's what I have.
Yeah, that is true.
All right, we've got,
yeah, but he's,
we've
even,
got some things...
Even with a long cord, if there's an entire garden center that I can go around, we could be safe from the pressure washer.
Yeah, you can, but eventually you're going to have to come to me. Eventually.
No, you're going to have to come to me with my shoes. I can't make it to you.
Yeah, we're just going to be on our own islands.
This is the game where you all set up the bases and no one fights each other.
Yeah.
Get over here, chicken.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I'm going to be spraying water, but it's just going to be rain.
Oh, yeah, that distance it will be rain.
Spot. All right.
Stop misting me.
We've all got things that can hurt each other, but this is a battle to the death. Eventually, we got to have something that's just like, look, I got to finish the deal.
Oh, this is a killer.
This is a murderous device. I'm getting head shears.
Yeah.
I'm just getting giant knives.
I don't know.
Giant scissors.
That'll be some work still.
Oh, yeah. But yeah. Well, it's stabby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, stabby. No, they're good. Hedging shears is good.
They're very stabby.
They're stabby and cutty.
So, look, my last two picks, I'm going to take some garden netting.
Okay. Oh,
I'm going to take some garden netting. I feel like some traps. And then I'm going to, my last resort here after the garden netting. Look, maybe I want to see you two kind of battle it out before I emerge to take on the winner. And that's why I'm drafting a wheelbarrow. I'm getting underneath it. I'm going to I'm turtling underneath the wheelbarrow.
Upside down.
Oh yeah. It's upside down. I'm under the wheelbarrow.
I'm going to quick as I can put one paver at a time I'm going to trap you under there, and I'm going to starve you out. My pallet of pavers.
You're putting the pavers on top of my wheelbarrow. Yes. No!
I'll see you in 2 days.
I can't lift it.
That's right. Lift a pallet of pavers.
No!
Turtle. Die, turtle.
That is the perfect scenario. You could go for a long walk with each paver and set them on my... Yeah. On top of
and
my,
you think you're being so clever. And
my turtle shell.
Like, let me see if one of them is dead.
Are you guys still fighting out there?
Guys?
Yeah.
Guys? All right. So Andy's a skeleton.
I can also move bodies off the battlefield easier.
That's true.
With the wheelbarrow.
True. And you can just have a lot of fun. Wheelbarrows are a ton of fun. Was that your
That's
done?
It. I'm done.
All right.
Shovel, bag of rocks, garden netting for traps, and a wheelbarrow to hide under.
Great. I'm surprised this made it this long. I probably should have taken it earlier myself, because I think your shovel's a good pick.
Yeah.
I really do.
Oh, there's a, yeah.
But there's a better version of, like, for a fight of a similar product, and that is the metal rake, the rock rake.
Okay.
The rock rake is pretty great.
Because now I've got, I've got
it's
more
not as weighty.
Impalers.
Yeah, you got impalers.
And, you know, spikes at the end of this thing. This is my spear. My spear is just curved at the end.
Sure.
So I will take the metal rake.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. So
is that my last
pick? But you do have a risk, because if you set it up against the wall and you step on it the wrong way,
right,
you could hit yourself in the
you
face.
You never want to. Yes. Yeah, that is. It's
a
huge
risk.
It's
a
huge
risk.
I'm willing to take.
Mike finally walks all the way over to you, and that rake is sitting there, and he steps on it with his Air Raider shoes. All right, one final
all
pick,
right.
Mike.
I'm going to keep my bio warfare going, and I just need something that I can toss like a like some pocket sand toss in your face, except it's poop, boys. I'm taking some fertilizer.
Yeah.
You're going to die all stinky.
All right, so you're going to throw some manure on us.
That's right.
Or trick us into, like, you get I'll give you bags of manure, as many as you want.
Oh, perfect.
So you can build them up in like sandbags, but but then your base is stinky.
Yeah,
stinky base.
Also, when you throw it at us, realize that you don't have
gloves. You have to hold it.
No, I understand.
We're all dying stinky.
Jason has a pressure washer that he got away with. Pallet of pavers, hedging shears, and gravel rake. Mike has a tree pruner, aerator spike shoes, a weed killer sprayer, and a bag of manure. I've got a shovel, some rocks, garden netting, and a wheelbarrow. I have one that I really wish I would have taken. One honorable mention that I had at the top of my list and I just kind of forgot to use, which was tiki torches.
It's on my list as well.
So having the some improvised, it's a club.
And they sell metal ones.
Yeah, but it would also like there'd be fire.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that manure lights on fire, but we could give it a shot.
I don't know. It won't light, but it'll blow up.
Okay.
If you get enough detonation going on. I had a thing called a tamper.
Oh, yeah. The flat bottom. Yeah. The flat bottom thing. Yeah.
I didn't know what it was
called. It's the level ground down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trellises, maybe as barricades.
Okay.
Some sort of. All
right.
Got a hose.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, use it as a whip.
Or a noose.
Oh.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Dangerous.
Or help connect my pressure washer.
Yeah.
It will lose pressure.
There you go. Let us know if we forgot anything. I think we did pretty good. I don't know if I'm going to be surviving this one, but
I'm pretty confident I win this fight.
I think Jason wins it because he stole something from the hardware store.
What did we learn today?
Oh, I learned what a tamper is.
I learned that apparently not every actor makes a lot of money.
And I relearned my hatred for dirty toothpaste.
Yeah, you did. Mm. We learned that about you.
Yeah.
That you're very passionate.
I'm passionate.
Squeeze
man.
It the right way is what you've always said.
And cap it.
That is today's show. Thank you for listening.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers Podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.